But maybe a cold, wet, miserable time of year, but there's something I really like about winter, and it's football. Will you endure? A very short sporting illustration as an introduction. Some of you, it may be torture. Some of you, it won't be. But I quite like listening to football. I quite like going to games. Hopefully this morning, football doesn't captivate your heart. Every time I went, they asked me for money. The people that I sat near weren't very friendly. The seats weren't comfortable. They were cold and hard and cramped. I went to so many games, but the coach never pointed on me and said, come on, you play, you take part. Never once did I get invited. The referee made a call that I just could not agree with. So I'm not going back. I actually suspected that some people that I was sitting next to were hypocrites. But they weren't there for the game at all. They were there to be seen with their friends and to see what other people are wearing. They weren't interested in the game. They were hypocrites. Some games went into overtime and I was late home. So I'm not going back. They kept scheduling games at the same time I wanted to do something else, and it didn't suit. And I was taken to so many games by my dad as a child. I don't want to bring my children to games because I want them to choose for themselves. You know, no one ever says this about sport, but all these things are said about church. People come up with so many excuses and problems with church. The reality is, for a lot of people, church is dry. Church is boring. Church is a pain. Maybe that's you today. I hope it's not. But if it is you, I'd like to preach for a moment or two this morning about how to make the most out of coming to church. You're here already. How do you make the most out of it so that it's not a dry, boring chore? Why do you come? Is it to check the box, maybe before your family or your friends? Is it to check the box before the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I worshipped you just like you want me to this week? Or do you understand yourself to be a very needy sinner, one who desperately needs God, who desires an encounter with the living God? I hope you're in Luke 18. We'll look at verses 9 to 14, but first we'll pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to consider your word, consider how we come to church. Lord, help us to see the principles found in your word, help us to apply them to our lives. Lord, we're guilty from time to time of coming out of routine and out of tradition and for the wrong reasons. Lord, show that to us. Lord, we ask that you would peel back the veil of our heart, that you would search our heart, and that you would reveal to us the motives and the methods and the manners with which we come. Pray that you would speak to us today in power. Hide the speaker behind the cross. Lord, we want to see you. We want to see you exalted. We want to see you in this place doing a great work, and we pray to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus is speaking here. He spake a parable unto them. Spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Think with me for a minute or two this morning. Picture it's a parable, all right? But picture the story in your mind because it's a very vivid picture. Two men walking into the temple. Both walked into the same place, did they not? Both walked in for the same purpose. They would have seen the same people. They would have heard the same things. They would have experienced, in one sense, the same event. It was all the same. They were praying to the same God. They both said, Dear God. Everything was exactly the same, but one left that place justified and the other left the same way he came in. He went home just the same. He was unchanged. And I've often wondered, although it ought not be a mystery, how people can come to church, how you can get two people that sit in the same pew. They sit with the same Bible open in their laps. They hear the same, they come to the same service, they hear the same message, they sing the same hymns, they hear the same piano, they meet the same people. Same fellowship. But one leaves saying, I didn't get much out of that today. And the other leaves saying, that's one of the best services I've ever been a part of. How does that happen? Well, and I also wonder how some can come up to the preacher after the message and say, just thank you so much. The Lord really spoke to me through the preaching of the word today. And the preacher will inevitably respond, praise the Lord, that's a blessing. And then the same message, people can walk out and think in their minds, or even worse, they say to everyone else, that was shallow today. Didn't get anything out of that. Now, I've heard that before, you know, I'm after something new. How can they hear the same message and have different response? Let me suggest to you this morning that it has little. Sometimes it has to do with the preaching. Sometimes the preacher is not preaching the truth. Right? Trust here that we always are. Sometimes it's the preaching. But very often, nearly all the time, it has little or nothing to do with the preaching, but everything to do with a person's heart. The person's heart that comes to sit and listen. How's your heart this morning? How's your heart? Is it in a place of worship? Or are you thinking about the football? Or are you thinking about lunch? Or are you thinking about the next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what's happening next week? Where is your heart today? How did you come to worship your God? Hopefully, you come with a heart of humility. That's our first point this morning. We see these two men that came to worship, one full of pride, the other full of humility. And if you want to make the most out of church, we all need to come humbly to church. You think about these two men, the Pharisee, the spiritual leader, the man who everyone around him thought was righteous, the man who prayed at least three times a day, who fasted twice in the week, who gave tithes of all that he had. Mind you, whenever he did those things, Pharisees were notorious for fasting the same day they went to the marketplace so that they'd look miserable, so that everyone would know that they're fasting, so that everyone would think they're godly. That's the way they did things. When they prayed, they stood on the street corner and prayed loudly so people would hear them pray and think they're godly. When they gave money, they gave it publicly so that everyone would see just what they gave and did for God. Everything about him was public. He thought himself a very religious man. Many people thought that he was a pure, holy, and righteous man, but the truth is he loved the adoration of men. He wanted to impress others. He loved the praise of men rather than praise of God. Sadly, that's a picture of many in the church. People that think they're pure, think they're holy, think they're righteous. They've convinced everyone else that they are. You know, they dot the T's, cross the I's, but they're living a life of ritual and tradition just like the Pharisee. They've even convinced themselves that anyone who doesn't live up to their standards of righteousness is wrong, taking their eyes completely off the Lord. You know, when he prayed, you can read it there, he wasn't really praying to God in a sense. He was really talking to himself, talking to everyone else who would listen about himself. He did say, I thank God. Then he went on to say just how wonderful he is. So there's the first man, the Pharisee. We know what he's like. And there's the second man, the publican, the tax collector. You know, the Pharisee was a spiritual leader. The publican was a spiritual outcast. He was a man that the Jews would have very little to do with. He was hated by the Jews. A man who worked for Rome. He was the enemy known for greed and dishonesty and milking what he could out of the decent folk. But both of these men went up to the house of prayer. Both stood in the same place and prayed to the same God, but one man left with nothing. He went through the rituals. He judged others by his standards. He prayed for himself. He worshipped himself. He got nothing. He went home feeling good about himself, by the way. Imagine patting himself on the back all the way, leaving the temple and not knowing what he missed. He missed the blessing that God wanted to bestow because he was caught up with himself. He got nothing from God. The other man went to church and got everything. He left justified. He didn't put on a spiritual show. He offered a simple prayer. He came to God honestly in confession and worship. He left that temple, or we'll say church for the fun of it this morning, but he left that place of worship right with God because he came humbly. You ask, what's the difference between the two? Humility is the difference. And when you and I come to church, it needs to be clothed with humility. We need to understand our need for God to work in our lives. If you and I think we don't need God, then we're like the Pharisee. If we think we can live the Christian life without him, then we're like the first man. But if we come with a desperate need to this place of worship and seek God for a blessing, then God will bless. We need to come with humility. God said a number of times, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How did you come this morning? Hopefully it's with humility. When you come, does it feel like you've had a spiritual bath, like you've been washed and renewed and refreshed? I trust that that's the case, that you feel like you've bathed in the Word of God and the Spirit has washed you clean with a regeneration of the Word. Do you come honestly before God? I often think about it like if your heart was like a building with different rooms, we often try and hide away maybe the closet and not let the Lord into that. You know, we hold back a little bit. We're not prepared to just give up completely and just yield it all to the Lord and say, Lord, search me. Know my heart. Reveal the wicked ways that lie within. Often we hold back a little bit and say, Lord, you can convict me about this, but that little closet, I'm not letting you touch that. Is that coming with humility? No, that's coming with pride. We may not think it that way because we're giving God all of this and saying, Lord, you can have all of this, but this bit, I'm all right with this by myself. No, we need to come with humility. If you want to make the most out of church, come humbly. Secondly, if you want to make the most out of church, come expectantly. Come expecting something. Let me show you another example in Scriptures. Turn to Mark, would you please? Mark chapter 2. Come expectantly. We'll read from verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. We're talking about the Lord. Straightway, they were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. You can imagine the picture, a house, a building gathered with people, squeezing into this building so that they could hear Jesus himself preaching the word of God. Well, anything that Jesus said was going to be the word, because he is the word. But here we see the picture, a gathering of people squeezing together to hear Jesus speak. Now, it doesn't say it was a church service, but we do a similar thing today. We gather together, we squeeze in those seats up the back, because they're narrow. We squeeze in and we hear someone preach Christ. We hear the word of God preached. But we read of this gathering. We can understand that a great number of people, different kinds of people would have come. There would have been those that were sick, who were needing help. Those that were diseased that needed help. Those that were struggling in life and they just needed a word from Jesus Christ to encourage them. They needed something from God. If you read on in verse 3, there were 5 men particularly that came knowing that they had a need. Verse 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. So 5 men, 4 of them carrying their friend, come to this meeting. They'd heard that Jesus was in the building and they wanted to get their friend to Christ. But they can't get in the door. They can't fit. They're carrying him on a stretcher. It's not going to work. There's too many people there. They know they've got a friend who has a need. They come expecting Jesus to answer that need, but they can't get in. So they're looking hopefully for a miracle.
So what do they do? Oh, it's too bad, we'll try for the next service. No. No, they scale the roof, scale the walls onto the roof and start ripping apart, breaking up the roof. Now, I don't know how they did that. I can imagine it would have been quite difficult to get a man on a stretcher onto a roof and then to rip him apart the roof and lower him down. But imagine the effort these guys put in to getting their sick friend to Christ. They understood that it was life-changing. They understood that it was vitally important to get to see Christ, and they wouldn't let things hinder them. Can you imagine sitting in the room listening to the Jesus preaching and then the roof breaking up and the stretcher coming down? What would you think? These guys are crazy. Wouldn't you? Or does that happen every day? It didn't happen every day in Jesus' day either. Right? Everyone sitting there would have thought, especially the guy who owned the building, he'd be like, what are these guys doing to my roof? Everyone else would think that these guys are either eccentric or nuts. They wouldn't think, well, that's normal. See that every day. But what did Jesus see? Read it on. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus saw their faith. Everyone else thought crazy. But Jesus saw their faith. They expected something from God. They expected a miracle from God. And the very reason they believed and trusted and expected God to bless was the reason they received that blessing. They had faith. I wonder, when you come to church, what do you expect? To be bored for an hour? To sit in the same seats and do your time? Is that what it's about? What do you expect? You trying to make God happy by coming? Or do you come expecting to hear from God through his word? There's a big difference. Do you come expecting, anticipating a blessing from God? Because that's how you ought to come. God wants to bless his people today. But sadly, we turn up expecting just the same old, and we wonder why we don't get anything out of the message and the service seems dry. If we come expecting and anticipating God to do a great work, it is remarkable how often he does. If you have on your mind, what is God going to speak to me about today? And you sit under the preaching of the word, it is remarkable how often God speaks. But if you come in thinking, well, I'll just sit there and do what I need to do, you'll miss out on the blessings that God wants to give. You know, there were several people crowded into that building that weren't interested in what the Lord had to say. We looked at the Pharisee and the publican before, but here we see these four faithful men carrying their friend, and we also see the scribes in verse 7. See, these men weren't there to hear. They weren't there for a blessing. They certainly weren't there for a miracle. What they were looking for was something to criticize. Verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? See, these men, their heart was not right when they went to hear the word speak. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Why would he say that way? And those men left that day with no help from the Lord. You know, they were in the presence of God himself healing a man from his physical infirmities, and they left exactly the same way that they came. There was a miracle in their presence, but they weren't interested in a miracle. They weren't interested in a blessing from God. They were interested in criticizing. Now, some people come to church the same way. They come expecting the preacher not to speak the truth, but they expect mistakes. And I make mistakes. Pastor Mitchell makes mistakes. We don't even realize it sometimes. And you can just sit there with a smile and we just don't get it. But if you come listening for mistakes, you're going to miss the blessing. If you come expecting to be bored, you will be. If you come with a critical spirit, you'll find fault with everything and everyone. And look, if all you get out of church is it was too hot, or it was too cold, or the music was too loud, or the preaching was too long, or it was too short, or it wasn't direct enough, or if it was too direct, if all you get is something to criticize, then you're walking out that door gaining nothing of what God wanted to bless you with. You're walking the same way out there as you walked in. And church ought not to be like that. Can I give you a tip this morning that I find very helpful? Anticipate the service. Anticipate it. You know, my mum and dad are on a holiday. They're over in Western Australia at the moment. They're up near, well, I don't remember. They're out of phone service. It's probably pretty easy over there. But they've been travelling since March and they'll be back in November. This is a trip. And they anticipated the holiday. You know, you talk to my dad, he retired, and I think then instead of working, he started working on this trip. Right? Everything he did was like getting the right vehicle, getting the right camper to go on back, getting all the gear right, setting the suspension right, researching the towns and the roads and the conditions and every like the river crossings and the water quality. You could ask him anything. He knew everything about Western Australia before he ever stepped out the door because he anticipated it. He was looking forward to it. We need to anticipate the service. That'll prepare your heart to worship. Did you know that? If you wake up, and it shouldn't just be today, but if you wake up and you start anticipating, you know, I wonder what the Word of God, what the preacher's going to preach on today. I wonder what God's going to talk to me about. I wonder what hymns we're going to sing. That gets you in the right frame of mind. That gets you in a place of worship. You know, if the preacher's preaching through a series and you have some idea of what the message is going to be on, read that text before. Read it in the morning. Read it on Saturday before. Read it throughout the week. If you know what the message will be on and God is going to give a message from this pulpit, read the passage ahead of time. Meditate upon it. Think upon it. That's if you can. Anticipate the preaching. On a Wednesday night when you're at work and you're having lunch, on a Wednesday when you're at work, before Wednesday night, see, make mistakes all the time, when you're having lunch, I wonder what the message is going to be on tonight. Really looking forward to that. I wonder what God's going to speak about tonight. I wonder who's going to be there. I wonder who I can encourage tonight. I wonder who I can help, who I can pray for, who I can put an arm around or shake their hand and tell them that I love them and I really appreciate seeing them tonight. Do you anticipate those opportunities? Worship does not start at 11 o'clock and switch off at 12. Because if you don't come expecting God to bless and anticipating the ways in which He'll bless and the ways in which He'll use you, you'll sit there on 5 to 11 or even 11 o'clock or, God forbid, even later, sit down with your mind in neutral and God's word will be preached and your brain will just be skipping gears. And you'll miss what God wants for you because you're not anticipating it. You need to come humbly to church to make the most out of it. You need to come expecting God to bless to make the most out of it. And lastly, you need to come prepared. That's really what we've been thinking about. Exodus 19, we don't need to turn there. This is an account where, back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were commanded to prepare themselves for meeting God. God was going to descend upon Mount Sinai. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. It's a principle. It's a principle that's plain. People in the Old Testament needed to prepare to meet with God. This was no trifling matter to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was a big deal. People of Israel needed to wash and to be sanctified. In Exodus 30, we read about God instituting the brass laver, where the priests would have to wash their hands and feet before going into the tabernacle, before offering the sacrifices. They needed to prepare themselves. And if they didn't, Exodus 30 tells me they die. God takes it very seriously how we come before Him. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to wash our hands and feet and wash our clothes. I don't mind if you come to church on a Sunday in dirty clothes. Or you don't have a shower, if you must. I'm not trying to introduce Old Testament law and saying this is what we have to do. But the principle, the idea is clear because God hasn't changed. And God made these people in the Old Testament go through these steps in order to teach them and us something. That coming to God is no light matter. Coming to worship God is no trifling matter. We need to come prepared. Like I said, worship doesn't start at 11. To make the most, worship begins much earlier than that. So how do we prepare? These are some practical things. Some of them are obvious. Some of them are from experience. Firstly, pray before you come. Pray before you come. Spend time on a Sunday morning in prayer with the Lord. Pray for the preacher. I would really appreciate that. We need it. We don't trust in ourselves. The reason we get up and preach is because we trust that God will enable us to convey God's message to God's people. And that doesn't happen without God answering prayer. We need to pray for the preacher. His mind may be clear, that he may be able to speak, that he wouldn't get in the way of God's message. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the song leader as they minister and lead and guide in various ways. Pray for the musicians. Anyone in public ministry needs to be prayed for that they don't get proud. Even musicians that sit over there and hide in the corner, if they, you know, pray for them that they don't get proud and think they're doing a great job and the glory ought to go to them. Pray for all of us that way. Pray for each other. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family that your heart may be right as you go into the place of worship. And honestly, openly ask God to reveal, is there anything that would hinder you speaking to me today? And if you sit there quietly and think about it, God will answer that prayer. He'll convict you about something. If there's something that you've done wrong, a sin between you and a brother or you and the Lord, or something that needs to be dealt with, God will make it very clear to you if you give him the chance. We so often are just too busy to listen. We don't ask, we don't listen. But if we spend the time in prayer before we can come prepared. Pray before you come. Secondly, protect yourself before you come. I want to tell you something you know already. What can go wrong will go wrong 15 minutes before church starts. True? It's not just me. We all know that to be true. You know, babies fill their nappies as you're about to leave the house. Children hurt themselves or hurt each other as you're about to leave the house. Cars break down before you're about to leave. Telephones ring, neighbours drop around, you know, and then when you finally get in the car, some slow car will pull in front of you and you're trying desperately to get there on time and something will slow you down. And then your wife will say something and instead of being loving, you're fleshly and you start yelling. And then the children in the back seat will make more noise and then you'll be yelling at them. And the whole journey that ought to be one of solemn thought and preparation, preparing your heart to worship God, turns into like this little whirlwind of chaos. Why is that? We're not protecting ourselves. No, the devil loves that. If the devil can have you yelling at your wife before you turn up to church to worship God, he's going to be very happy. Very happy. You know, you turn up, straighten the tie, put the smiles on, everything's fine. But it's not. We need to protect that time because the devil dearly loves to destroy it. You need to resolve in your heart not to fight your family. Fight the flesh. Fight the flesh. Come expecting the challenges. And there are steps you can take. This is just for you to think about. You know, maybe, and we were joking about this morning, maybe you can iron your shirt Saturday rather than Sunday morning. Maybe you can get the shoes polished and the Bible set out on Saturday. Maybe you can get your tithe organised and you can replace the batteries in your hearing aid if you need them on Saturday rather than racing around Sunday morning trying to get everything organised in the little bit of time you've got. Because if nothing else, we're just giving the devil plenty to play with. Like, he's able to make it hard for us without us putting all this pressure on getting to church. Do it Saturday. What else can you do? Well, you can go to bed early on Saturday night and you can get up early on Sunday morning. You know, we all have the same amount of time to get to church. We're all got to be here Sunday school by 9:30, some of us earlier if you're teaching. Just go to bed earlier, get up earlier. You know, this is not impossible. It may sound like it is because we know that every Sunday is just the opposite of what I'm talking about, but it ought not be. We need to make steps, put things in place to protect the time before you come. Some of that's practical. Don't put the telly on a Sunday morning. Do you need to know what the news is all about? Not really. You know, don't fill your mind with worldly things and all the dramas out there that the news would have you believe a drama. Some of it is, some of it's not. Do you really need to hear all that before you come? You know, put music on in the house. Listen to psalms and hymns in the house. Listen to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in the car on the way to church. Read your Bible. Have your quiet time before you come. Don't turn your phone on silent. Little things, all right? But if you've got more time, it's easy. But if you're racing around like a headless chook trying to find your seat and sit down before everything starts, are you really prepared to worship God? Find a seat when you come. Look, if you turn up early, you know what you get? You get an opportunity to encourage others. Now, we all get an opportunity after the service, but some get an opportunity before the service to have a chat, say, how have you been? It's actually really nice because it's quieter. There's less people here. I'd love us all to be here encouraging each other before the church starts. It'd be great. 5 minutes before church is due to start, find your seat. Sit down. Read the hymns we're going to sing. Read over the words and think about them. Look up the title and the text of the message. Read the text. Have a think and a pray and anticipate what God's going to bless. But we don't. We just get caught up with other things. We need to prepare to worship. So in doing so, we need to pray. We need to protect ourselves. We also need to purpose to be here. Far too often, people say things like, well, I'll try and make it Wednesday night. You ever heard that? I'll try and make it. But then when something comes up, well, at least I tried. All you're giving is the flesh a little wriggle room. You know, the flesh can find a way of getting out of it. I'll try and get back to worship on Sunday night. You know I should. I'll really try. But you're not determining and purposing, saying, well, I'm going to get there. Those four men carrying that one friend didn't get put off by a building full of people. They destroyed a man's roof to get to church. Now, we find far less obstacles thwart us from time to time. We need to purpose to be here. And if you've never been on a Sunday night, I think everyone has, all right? I think you probably have. But if you haven't been on a Sunday night, what happens? More of the same. If you haven't been on a Wednesday night for a long time, what do? More of the same. Preach the word, consider the Lord, sing praises to him and worship him and pray to him. We encourage each other and we build each other up. We need more of that. So you can jump up and down and say, well, the Bible doesn't say I need to be there three services a week. I really don't mind. I need to be here three services a week because I know my soul needs the encouragement. And I don't think I'm much different to you. Sometimes it's impossible, but often it is. We just make up excuses. If you can be here, please be here. Because I know that there are those that would love to be here three services a week but can't. They would love it, but they don't get the opportunity. Age, health, circumstances, distance, all those things can play a part. But we live how far down the road, and we can get here. And on a Wednesday night, when we look up at the clock and it says 7 o'clock, and this doesn't happen to me because I'm always here, but when you look up at the clock and see 7 o'clock, you think, oh, prayer meeting tonight. I really should have gone to that. Then make purpose in your heart to get there next week. Don't say, I'll try and get there next week. No, I will get there next week, Lord willing. No excuses. And then lastly, participate. Participate in church, in the service. Now, you need to be engaged. You can't just sit there and tune out for an hour and get what God wants to give you. You need to be involved. Sing with us. Some of us don't sing very well. It's fine. Sing anyway. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, you can learn to greet people. It's a simple thing. You say, I'm not very good with people. I don't care. Learn to go, shake someone's hand, smile at them and say, it's really good to be here today. It's good to see you today. That doesn't take any people skills, all right? Just smile, shake a hand and say, it's really good to see you today. That's all. And then you can walk away. And they'll be left with a smile on their face thinking, oh, it was really nice. They come up and said hi. That's all you need to do. And if the Lord leads you further, wonderful. If someone comes up to you and does that today, don't give them a hard time. Just smile and say, thanks, it's really good to see you too. We need to learn to greet people. Participate. This is what we're thinking about. You need to listen attentively. You need to listen. Take notes. What's the back of the bulletin say at the top? I haven't got one up here. Does it say sermon notes or notes there? Notes. What do you think they might be for? Notes. Good. We're on the same page. You haven't fallen asleep yet. You're still listening. Take notes. If you are prone to being distracted, take notes. If you can think of many times where you've been sitting in the message and then you're just off, drifting off, thinking about other things, if that's you, take notes. It will keep your mind on the message and you'll get more. If you fall asleep, take notes. It's much harder to fall asleep when you're taking notes. Look, I don't know how someone falls asleep when someone's yelling at them. If I see people fall asleep, I get louder. Try to anyway. Some, it just doesn't matter. People are gone. I don't know how you train yourself to do that. Sleep Saturday night, go to bed earlier. If you need to, sleep in more than everyone else on a Saturday morning. But from 11 till 12, stay awake. It's not that hard. Don't fall asleep. This is God's word being preached to you with a message, and you're going to sleep through it? Seriously, I've done it. I've slept through messages before, and I'm left thinking, why would I sleep? It's a battle, all right? It's hard. But if you've trained yourself and prepared yourself that now is the time to go to sleep, then stop that habit, because you're missing every blessing that God wants to give you. You need to participate. Listen attentively. I don't get personally offended when people fall asleep. I really don't. But I feel for them, because they're missing God's word. That's the burden. If you're often with a fairy singing about something else, then you're missing God's word too. You may as well be asleep. If you're thinking about sport or thinking about work or thinking about lunch, then you're missing God's word too. You just may as well be asleep as well. You need to listen attentively and look for opportunities to get involved. When it's time to sing, sing. When it's time to give, give. And don't give reluctantly. Don't give, oh, it's time to put my money in there again. Don't give reluctantly. No, give cheerfully, because God loves a cheerful giver. You know, if you give that way, reluctantly, then you miss the blessing. When it's time to pray, here's one for you. When the person stands up to pray, pray with them. It's not time to close your eyes and pretend to pray. It's not just kids that do that. Right? Adults do that too. We think, all right, now we've got in the 3 or 4 minutes, let's just put our heads down, and we don't pray. And we miss an opportunity to worship. Participate. Look for opportunities. If it's time to serve, then serve. If God's gifted you, and He has, to the edifying and the building up of this local body of believers, He wants you to use that gift. It may not be to preach, it may not be to lead, it may not be a musical instrument, but it's something. And if you've got no idea what it is, then ask someone who knows you best. And they'll say, yeah, it's obvious, you're gifted to do this. And then see how you can use that gift in the church. Because if you're talking about how to make the most out of a church service, then a body of believers using their gifts for the glory of God, that will make the most out of a church service. Come and serve. So we've looked at preparing to come. We've looked at while you're here, and we're coming to an end. So what do you do now? If you want to make the most out of a service, you obey what you've heard. You don't just let the word convict you and prick your heart and then just go in one ear and out the other. No, you let the word dwell. You think about it. You know, when I probably asked Mr. Phillips to close in prayer this morning. When he says amen, it's not like the lunch bell at school goes off and everyone packs up and races out of here making a heap of noise. No, it's a time when the music's been played for you to think about what God's talked to you about. And if you're not going to think about that, it's fine. Just don't make a heap of noise when other people are trying to. Now, when we finish the service, think about what God has said to us and apply it. And if God said something to you, talk to your wife, talk to your friend, talk to whoever it is, and say, you know, the Lord was really talking to me about this today. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, actually, yeah, the Lord was talking to me about this. And then you can encourage each other to obey. Then you're not left with just hearing the word and not doing it. Then you've got someone who can keep you accountable, who can help you do what God's word says. Worship doesn't start at 11 and finish at 12. It goes on. In fact, to make the most out of church, you need to come humbly, come expectantly, and come prepared to worship. And that's really not just true for church. That's true of every day. You could say you should live humbly and live expectantly and live prepared. Like, you could preach a whole other message on that. As we gather together, you and I need to give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now we gather together to exalt him. How do you come? Is your heart humble? Are you expecting God to really speak to you? And are you prepared? I trust you are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for the principles we find therein. Pray that you would help us to be prepared to worship you. You're a God that's very easy to worship. Lord, if we've developed bad habits, like rushing on a Sunday morning, racing around and behaving in the flesh before we get here, Lord, forgive us. Help us to change, that we may be diligent, prepared and ready to worship our great God. We ask your blessing upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.